This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Yes, that's right, you mob. You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM for the best country. And I am Sinead Clements, the host. I'm a proud Kalkadoon Birra and Jitterbal woman from far north Queensland. Before I go ahead, I'd like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the traditional custodians of the land that we're on today and acknowledge elders both past, present and emerging. So welcome to our Deadly Choices radio show, our weekly show dedicated towards mob making deadly choices. Remember, making deadly choices is all about eating healthy, remaining active in both body, mind and spirit, and ensuring you keep up to date with those 715 health checks, resisting any temptation to take up smoking or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your mob. So in the studio today, we're joined by Dr. Gaj, our senior clinician, a paediatrician and disability services. He looks after those areas at Institute for Urban Indigenous Health. We also have a special guest, Deadly Choices Ambassador and Rugby League legend, Steve Renoff. Plus, later on, we'll get Dr. Jonathan from our ATSIC Brisbane place to call in and have a little yarn about COVID and give us a current update on where we're at there. But Dr. Gaj, let us know where you're from and what you do within IUIH.
Oh, Shanae, thank you. A real honour to be here, actually. And, so I'm from a few different places. I grew up in Dubbo and spent a lot of my early years there, very enjoyable childhood, then went on to Sydney and then have lived up in Townsville, spent 6 months working in the Kimberley.
Wow.
And worked across most of the top of Australia. So most of my experience is actually in remote and rural areas. And I've had the adjustment of working in the urban environment, which is different, but it's very enjoyable. And look, my role at IUE is basically helping to run the paediatric medical services for the group across the whole network.
Dub Vegas, hey! I played one of the Corey knockouts there, and back in 2019, Steve, I don't know if you've had the pleasure of joining the Corey knockout, but the driest place. I think I couldn't breathe after like 5 minutes. I was like, "What is this?" Coming from far north Queensland, I'm sure you know the difference.
Yeah, well, you know, I say the same when I go to far north Queensland. So, you know, what is this?
And Steve, no need for an introduction, but let us know who your mob is and where you're from.
Yeah, look, Steve ran off here, but on my mum's side, we're Goongri mob from out at Mitchell here in southwest Queensland. Gubby Gubby, my dad's side, which is just north of Redcliffe. Up to about Gladstone, I think, or Bundaberg. So that's where I'm from traditionally. My mum's from Cherbourg. She grew up in Cherbourg, and we all grew up in Mergen, so from the South Burnett. Yeah, but I have been to Dubbo a few times. Yep. I played one game there. Never been to a Corey knockout there, though, but I think the Broncos, we might have played a game back in the day against Illawarra, I think, and we lost that match. But I got mobbed down at Dubbo too, so yeah. It's a good place.
It's a fun little town. Very, very lively. But Steve, what exactly do you do? You know, we had our 10 years, I think, last year, but and you've been here for all of those 10 years. Yeah. What do you love about Deadly Choices, and what do you do exactly in your role?
Yeah, so I think very proud of when, you know, this where it's all come from, where Deadly Choices started. And as you said, just over 10 years ago now, we celebrated 10 years last year that you know, it was an idea that came out of, you know, being Lacey and Kieran Lander's head, and to see it develop across, especially here in southeast Queensland, but now we have a national footprint. We're very proud of that. And I think the underlying thing there is the effect and the positive effect it's had on our community and health. And that's what I think when we talk about, you know, Deadly Choices, it's all fun. I find it really personally, the interface with the community, what we do for the community, you know, I do. It's one of the best jobs in the world. But what I would never forget is why we do it, and that's for the community, and that's what I'm proud of.
I know I was having a yarn to Annie Cherry Charlton, actually, and she kind of broke it down as deadly choices, and she simplified it so well that I've never heard it being simplified but like that before. Is our elders, they work so hard, and now we have a choice, and just in that alone is something to be very grateful.
Yeah, and we talk about over the years, because we, you know, people have been here long enough with the program, and you see that. And I always used to say, about 5 years into the program, you know, having meetings, you know, with government, with politicians, is it's changed the face of Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander health.
Mm-hmm.
And it nearly beat it up and made it fun. You know, I don't like using that word. You'd appreciate that, Doc. But the thing is, it sort of took that... reluctance or that scariness away from health,
yes,
and made it, our people want to come to our clinics, and I think that's what it was all about.
And I think it just made it a bit safer, that community controlled aspect. You're mob looking after mob. And back in the day, you know, I always broke it down, the way my nan broke it down to me is, our doctors were our grandparents. Our health workers were the older generation saying, this is what we do. This is how you look after yourself. And, you know, you can't really back chat your elders. So you took their advice and went with it.
Exactly. And I think from, we always talk about deadly choices, and I always remind people, deadly choices, it's its own entity, but it's an engagement program. But then you go across to our clinical side. We have this system of care, which is, you know, second to none. It's amazing what we do in that space.
Yes. Now, I guess last year was very different for everyone. Dr. Gaj, what was 2020 like for you personally and professionally? Obviously, telehealth became a bigger thing, so that landscape had to change for us. But what was kind of your big... I get, for me, it was a bit of an epiphany to just take it day by day, one step at a time. All the information was changing continually. But what was it like for you?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned telehealth, because... those telehealth kind of services have been on our radar before COVID.
Yeah.
So we were already doing a lot of that stuff. So, and we found that as an organisation, we were kind of ahead of the ball a little bit here, and it was kind of just upscaling what we were already doing. So for me, that was a really enjoyable kind of process, and we were doing telehealth from the point of view of just making the service accessible, really. Mm. And so that's just what was more needed in COVID. And, you know, from a work point of view, I went through periods of going super busy and then going quieter and then going busy. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it went. I was also managing a couple of kids at home and had to do the learning from home. And I always had respect for teachers, and the respect has just gone through the roof now. I think they're the most important people in our community. So that was a bit of a challenge, but we all got through okay. And I think it's really where you felt the importance of family and community. You know, everyone really had to look after each other. And I was really proud to sort of see that those important elements of connection really come through into helping people manage this, you know, that rough period.
Yeah, talking about connection, I think that goes hand in hand with our mob, connecting to country. And that was huge for me. There was always a trip planned home back to Far North Queensland, but I didn't get to plan that trip, and I didn't get to, you know, write that date and have that countdown in my diary. But just finding new ways to connect was kind of something I took away with me in 2021. Steve, was there anything from last year that you took away that you definitely want to make a part of your daily routine for this year?
Well, it's probably not me personally. It is a little bit personal, but I think, and the doc touched on that, we work, you know, very closely and face-to-face with our community here, our clients, the community. And I felt for them because, you know, especially our elders, because all of a sudden we're on lockdown and we couldn't interface. There was no face-to-face. It was either telehealth or we started delivering our programs, by Facebook. And so for me, it's a little bit sad because that's part of the job you enjoy. And I was feeling especially for our elders who were in lockdown. And, you know, over the last, you know, even though we did that naturally, over the last 10 and 11 years since, you know, the Institute's been running and Deadly Choices, they've really taken on, you know, what we've had, you know, they're on offer with Deadly Choices and all our programs that are linked and, you know, work it out. So for me, that was a sad part for me. But now that they're back, you know, we're back, well, virtually back to normal, that, you know, we can get face-to-face with them. So, yeah, that's one thing I missed.
Yeah, I've gone out to a few of those senior games and it's incredible to to see how talented they are, how much I'm sure most of them are practicing their games at home. There's tenpin bowling and darts and all sorts of games there that they play with Uncle Dusty, and it's really deadly to see. Now, Gaj, I know you're doing some of the games at Titans with some of the mob down there. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so... I came on board with the Titans last year to help with some of their disability footy teams. So they've got a physical disability and an intellectual disability team. And really I just came on board to help as a volunteer to help organise things. They run a pretty terrific program down there, and I think it's just all about having inclusive sport, really. And it's a kind of model that I think places should be thinking about extending to multiple sports and really give people of all abilities a choice if they want to participate or not. Yeah.
I think and Steve, you can comment on this too, like the best thing that I love about sports is the social aspect. I think that connection with your teammates, as well as kind of challenging yourself and, you know, that healthy side of it, but it's really the connection. And even when you're a boxer, you still have connection with your coach, and, you know, you still have a team there behind you. But we definitely got to be offering that sort of connection side for our mob with disabilities, because it's so important.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to the doc earlier, and I saw the story on NITV, and I just thought exactly what you touched on there, connection, and that's what it was about to everyone involved in that team. You know, whether you're in the team or your support staff, it was just around that, you know, getting together, having fun, and, you know, all varied levels, and that's what I loved about it. You know, it was very well done. You do a great job there. It's amazing.
Oh, thanks, Steve. But it's really the local group there is just outstanding. Yeah, and a lot of passion and a lot of community support. And footy's kind of the vehicle for a lot of other good stuff that happens, yeah.
Absolutely. So we have World Immunisation Week from the 24th to the 30th, so just next week. Tell us a bit more about what you do around immunisation, Dr. Gaj.
Yeah, so... immunisation's pretty topical at the moment around COVID, but look, I'll talk sort of generally about immunisations, where they're one of the most important what we call public health sort of measures that in history, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why we don't have a lot of those terrible diseases that you'll hear about, you know, grandparents and great grandparents, and even in my short career, there was a virus called rotavirus, which used to shut down the hospital ward every winter.
Wow.
That vaccine came out, and I've probably seen it twice in the last 10 years. Yeah, so it's really important to realise that these immunisations can have this big impact, not just on the individual, but also on society. Because for every...
Look, I've done a little bit of work with Australian Digital Health Agency around the My Health Record and immunisation. So, you know, historically for our mob, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been great with immunisation. I mean, I remember growing up as a little fella, we used to line up for our shots. you know, we used to get a lolly at the end of it. And, you know, but the thing was, and you talked about that, about the responsibility. Like, I always say to people, I'll always get immunised, because it's about me personally, but it's about my family, it's about my community. You know, and I don't want to be responsible for my community falling down to something like COVID. And we've been so good about that, our community across the country. You know, when we went through lockdown and, you know, about keeping our community safe, well, this is just an extension of that now, where, you know, the immunisation's there, COVID immunisation's there, and, you know, I encourage everyone to go and talk to your GP about it and book yourselves in to get one.
And, yeah, we've been talking about this and about just that herd immunity and being responsible as a community. And, you know, I think about taking it, I'd rather get the immunisation than COVID. And also, I'd rather protect my grandparents and the elders and those most vulnerable and at risk. So it's so important that if you have any questions, that you go to the right people, and that being your GP. They already know your health. They already know they're doing their research every day around immunisation with COVID, and they're the best people to start with. Now, other kind of immunisation around, you know, what we do with our bubs, and I feel like that's been more topical as we get older, is, you know, don't let bub get past 6 weeks and doing all that sort of stuff. And, you know, what exactly do you help out with IUIH and other immunisations?
So there's a pretty clear guideline and schedule for immunisations for different populations in Australia. And like most other healthcare groups in the country, IUIH is right at the forefront of that. And as any changes or adjustments are made, you know, you can rest assured that, you know, that all translates through to what the GP knows and what's in the vaccine fridge. And I suppose there is an element of, you know, needing to trust the science and needing to understand that there is a process where experts look at things. It's such a complicated process. I don't think any one person would be expected to know all about it.
Yeah.
I think it's just shows the different times. So back when, I'll always go back to when we got vaccinated, the community didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, community today, I'm talking about the whole community of Australia. So they're a lot more well-informed through social media, through the news. So my parents wouldn't have known what options, or it wasn't an option, or what drug company made that immunisation back in the day. But, you know, with all the news and all social media, we know that. And I think that's where the problem lies. And we never questioned that back in the day. And we just trusted, you know, that the medical people knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and look, Steve, I welcome questions. I worry if families take on my advice with no questions, because then I think...
I understand that, and I always say you've got to, as a patient, everyone's got the right to ask. I'm just going down the track of, you know, how different times are, where we just, you know, back in the day it was, oh, we get an immunisation.
And I think that's a lot of things that Deadly Choices and IUIH do, is not necessarily dictating what you need to know or what needs to be done, but it's just empowering mob to ask those questions and take their own health into their own hands and go out and ask your GP, and not necessarily just sticking to one source of information, but getting a few different ones, you know, tossing it up in the air and just really understanding what all your options are. And that's on the back of having a choice, really, isn't it?
It's really important, and isn't it great that we live in that, you know, in a time where that's happening now, where people can get informed easily, but of course it comes with that side of knowing where the good information is.
Yeah.
And that's the tough thing.
Yeah, there's always that fear of playing Dr. Google, unfortunately.
Yes.
That's never a good thing.
Yeah, I always see those shares on social media, and there's a lot of mob that get, even, you know, without all of the communities, just getting scared about those one-off cases. But yeah, like I said, the health websites, your local GP, they're always the best people to go to. Now, is there anything... you know, you touched on science, and a lot of this is kind of old science, that they're not using new technology or new science to come up with this sort of immunisation. But is there anything else mob should know or really consider if they're fearful of any kind of immunisation, whether it be for their bub or their teenage child at school getting immunisations, or they already have, already have health issues where they can kind of put their minds and at ease, I guess?
Yeah, and look, firstly, I'd acknowledge that there's no shame in feeling worried or scared, especially with the stuff that is around online and in the media. I think it's pretty normal to feel a bit worried about it. I would stress, though, that when you're worried, the solution is you can do your own sort of looking for information, but also talk to trusted people as well. Yeah, and so that's GPs, health workers, family as well. It's important to talk about as a family. And it's really only by having those discussions that you know what the options are. And
well, I think more than ever, especially you know, with the Institute here within Southeast Queensland, you know, we've got 21 medical services. We've had the best advice you could get ever go down to your local GP, local AMS, and find out some more information.
Absolutely. And also, you get that 715 health check. You got a Deadly Choices shirt at the end. There's some awesome 2021 Deadly shirts cruising around. So if you're just tuning in, I'm having a talk to Dr. Gaj about immunisation for Immunisation Week coming up next week. We've also got Steve Renoff here having a yarn with us. Today is information and having a choice for our mob and making sure we keep reconnected with our local Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander medical service and keep asking those questions that might scare us a bit. But it's so important that we be proactive with our health.
Hi, it's Petro Sivanasivi here, Deadly Choices Ambassador, and you're listening to DC Radio on 98.9 FM.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
If you're just tuning in, I'm having a talk to Dr. Gaj about immunisation for Immunisation Week coming up next week. We've also got Steve Renoff here having a yarn with us. Steve, so we're kicked off NRL. We're in the midst of it. What have you been up to around footy? And I'm sure you're watching all the games right now. And what's your take on, I guess, the new rules and where the season's going to head to?
Yeah, look, it's been a pretty good start to the season. I think the actual NRL would be happy with where they're at. Round five just happened. So I think, obviously, from a local point of view, Brisbane had a very competitive the other night against the leaders in Penrith Panthers. But, still disappointed that, we haven't had more wins. I think Kevin Walters as coach would have preferred to be in a different position, but he's working with what he has there at the club. So in the reality of things, a very limited stock of players, but he's doing his best. And I think him and his coaching staff, the boys will get better. They will get better as the season goes. And we only hope that we have a few more wins, coming up in the near future. But I think on a whole, I think we got that weekend of footy that they play. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, from our game against Penrith, who would have thought that we would have got that close to them at the start? And then the Souths match, and even the game yesterday between, I call them the Minnows, but, the Cowboys and Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
What a great game. It ended up being this great game. It was a bit scrappy, but it was, had everyone on the edge of their seats.
I'm a North Queensland girl through and through, Cowboys. It's been tough to follow them, but we're on the back of two wins.
Two in a row.
I'm very excited. Our strength and conditioning coach at West Brisbane, she's just accepted a job up with the Cowboys. So I was pleading with her to help my boys out, and we're on the back of two wins. She said it's a good day, good first day of her job. So, there's some really exciting teams taking off.
Dr. Gaj, I'd ask you, you're a Dubbo boy, so you must follow rugby league. Is that just making an assumption?
Yeah, well, yes, I do. I got two young boys, so we seem to have different sport every week. So right now we're celebrating that brilliant win by the Lions women's team.
Yes.
Wow.
Weekend.
Wow. Yeah. We need to mention that. That's awesome.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A couple of our ambassadors.
I know your boys are big fans of the women's NRL as well.
They are. They got a signed jersey from, and it takes pride of place in their room. So they've actually got no memorabilia from any men's teams, which is interesting.
Wow, I love that.
That's good.
So it's great. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah. So shout out to the women's NRL AFL. I think Courtney Hodder her goal where she just flicks her leg out in front and scores that goal was incredible and it's making its rounds. But we also have the Olympics up this year. We have a Olympics event for Deadly Choices. What are you looking forward to the Olympics coming through? It didn't happen last year. We have a few ambassadors that are heading, fingers crossed, all the way to the Olympics and going to represent MOB and our country very well. But I'd love to see all the different sports. I think, ping pong and table tennis and all those kind of pole vault, all those sports we don't get to see regularly, I'm a big fan of. And what are you guys looking forward to around the Olympics?
Oh, much the same. It's always, because it's not your week-to-week sport you get to see within the Olympics. So that's always exciting. And, for me personally, Brandon Wakeling, one of our ambassadors, weightlifter, and Taliqua Clancy, she's a red-hot chance. of medalling, if not gold medalling, to be honest. You know, she's arguably the best sand volley,
beach volleyball yeah.
in the world. And she's one of our ambassadors. She now lives here in Rizzi, and she's off already, I think, prepping overseas for the Olympics. So that's really exciting for her. But I'm excited, you know, that she's a Deadly Choices ambassador, and she's such a great ambassador.
Absolutely. And Dr. Gaj?
Oh, look, I love the athletics. It's always been what I like. And it's exciting that Australia is going to have someone in the 100 metres this year, which is terrific. So,
yeah, they are too.
Yeah, so I don't think he's quite hit PJ's times as yet, but maybe in the future.
he talked the talk. I did see his interview on the weekend. Yeah. So he wants to get in the final. So
yes.
Back yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we have the Young Deadlies, Young Olympic Deadlies on the 2nd of June. So keep a lookout on our Facebook page, and you can sign your little jarjum up to that event. And it's always exciting to see all the little ones get out, and there's always some deadly shirts involved as well. So is there any standout player that you're – I know Katoni Staggs is coming back in the next couple of months. Very excited about that. Is there any other kind of players within the league they're talking about, some really – fresh up and coming talent that's who do you have your eye on?
Yeah, look, there's been a number of players. I mean, I think it was Josh Curran played last night for the Warriors. He had a massive game, and I haven't seen him play, to be honest. I haven't watched too much of the Warriors, and they had a good win. But there's talent right across the park with the NRL. That's the exciting thing. And as you said, Katoni Staggs, I mean, obviously we haven't seen anything of Katoni this year. I think he's a Wellow boy. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think he's from Wellington, New South Wales, near Dubbo. And I'm looking forward to him coming back because he's going to make a real difference. And, I think, if he can sort of keep his little bits of his play. I've been watching, obviously. I've just gone blank there. Latrell Mitchell. He had a little bit of hiccup on the weekend with a few things, but geez, he's been on fire. And I sort of contact Wayne, a couple of times a week, Wayne Bennett, his coach, and he's so excited that he's got him in a good place, and he's playing some really good footy. And so for me, I mean, I know he's not a new player, but it's just good to see him solid and back on track with his rugby league.
But in the fullback too, he was quite, I think he got a lot of a flack around stepping into the fullback and people didn't back him, whether it'd be not fit enough but he's elusive, he's strong, and I think he's the best footy's yet to come from him.
Yeah, it is. And that's a scary thing for the opposition, that Latrell hasn't settled yet.
No.
Wait till he does and he just concentrates on his footy. He'll be the number one player in the game. And you look at that other position, I mean, obviously everyone be excited. Ryan Pappenhausen, what a player for the Melbourne Storm. Little footback, chalk and cheese when you look at size and shape. Mm-hmm. He's just as little. He hasn't got much to him.
Nah.
And, I just love the way he plays. He's tough and he's quick. I think the difference is you want players like him. And unfortunately, we lack a bit of that here at Brizzy.
Yeah.
And within the halves or within those positions, you want to have the ball. They're always looking for the ball in their hand. They want the ball and they want to be involved. And I think that's where we need to get to here at Brisbane.
Yeah, I think just being a part of a team, everyone wanting everyone to be involved, wanting the ball. I mean, that's the baseline of what successful teams look like. And, Storm are the best for that. Everyone knows their role and everyone knows how to get it done. So that's exciting. But, our top four right now is Panthers and then Rabbitohs. Unfortunately, on the weekend, that was a bit hard to watch, I think, for all the Rabbitoh fans.
Who would have thought that finish? I was like, that's not going to happen, is it?
I had to double check that. I was like, what? But as a forward, Sam Burgess, like, you just feel for him, don't you? All that effort, 20 metres, I think he had to run to put that over. And
It all went well, for them. And, I love the reaction of Wayne Bennett after the game. But, but that's him. But that's what rugby league is. And as you said, you've got Penrith. I think you've got South. Who else we got?
Eels is in number three. Cool Storm is sitting at fourth there. And then you got Roosters, Dragons, Titans. Titans in the top eight, which is exciting.
Well, that's exciting, Even though they got a bit of a touch-up on the weekend, that was a good lesson for them. But they got a pretty good team down there. So I'm a little bit excited believe it or not, for the Titans, because, you know, a lot of the players, I know the CEO, I know their chair. So the good thing is that they got good people there. And obviously Mal Meninga's there as the head of their footy. And so, you know, having that group of people leading, and that's what we talk about. You know, you have a team that you think is great and, you know, playing rugby league, but when you got that head office, which they have, that's all part of being a successful club, and that sort of seeps down to the playing group, believe it or not, and that's how it works. And so Titans do have that at the moment. I don't think you'll see too much shift around. From my point of view, that top 4 or 5,
yep.
I reckon that'll be pretty consistent for the rest of the year.
Yeah, fingers crossed they all stay fit and healthy, and yeah, it's going to be some exciting football. I think the new rules have made it faster.
I wasn't a fan of it at the start,
yeah,
but
right.
After the weekend, and obviously last weekend, the 2-point field goal, it's come into play twice now.
Wow.
And obviously Reynolds from South has used it 2 weeks in a row, and lo and behold, it's been to advantage.
Yes, it's going to be exciting time coming up, and Origin is around the corner. We also have the NRL Magic Round around the corner. Mm. What is it like leading up to those months where everyone's trying to play their best footy, not only for their club but for a chance at those state rep jerseys?
Yeah, the funny thing is, especially around Origin, and getting sort of goosebumps under when I talk about this, but you know, running into Origin in those last couple of weeks, you're a liar if you don't. If you don't get a bit nervous, thinking, you know, am I going to get picked?
Yeah.
You know, what do I got to do this weekend? You know, I know I got to have a good game. It's about thinking, trying to get through your head, having a good game for your club, because you know that'll equate to being selected in that team. So a couple of weeks out, you sort of go, oh, I really need to have it. Not that you don't have to do that every week, but you do. You get a bit nervous, and
yep.
You know, it's always great. I don't know whether they get a phone call these days, but we had to wait to listen to the ABC radio back in the day when we were selected. So it was sort of like a nervous wait on a Tuesday afternoon, I think it was, and they select the team. But, you know, talk about the Magic Round. How good a concept was that 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And it was a big hype for Brizzy. Looking forward to that again. I didn't get to any games, to be honest, a couple of years ago. So I'm looking forward to be a lot more involved in that, because I think it's something that we need to celebrate, that we have every team in the comp playing here at Suncorp Stadium. It's amazing.
Yeah, any chance we get to see our mobs traditional artwork on jerseys, on designs in everyday life is it's always a treasure for me personally, and I love to see it. I love to see our culture put on TV and just kind of get that recognition it deserves. But before I let you guys go, Dr. Gaj, what is your deadly choice that you're making right now?
So right now, it's really to stay active. Yeah, and so that can mean sort of making sure I'm outside with the kids. Actually, if I'm outside, I'm active.
Generally. Yeah,
yes, it's
easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the easiest way to think of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. And I always say mine is always just move. And, you know, I use that as a covers everything, but it's just about moving, you know what I mean, and not being sedentary. You can quite easily, and a lot of people do it. I mean, you can just sit down and watch the TV, but I always get up. I don't really run these days. I'll go for an hour walk, half an hour sometimes, walk the dog, and that's all it's about is moving.
I'm trying to get that sun in, get that vitamin D just before it starts colding up.
Get that tan.
Yeah, keep working on that. Mob up north, they always run me down for it. What are you always in the... I was like, hey, you're cheating. You're in North Queensland, son.
That's right.
I'm in the office.
That's right.
But yeah, thank you guys for coming on and having a yarn today. It's always important that we keep Mob informed about. I think that's been the biggest theme of our chat today, is information and having a choice for our Mob, and making sure we keep reconnected with our local Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander medical service, and keep asking those questions that that might scare us a bit. But it's so important that we keep, you know, we be proactive with our health. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, which way you Mob? I've got one of our regular doctors here from the Brisbane ATSICS clinic to give us a bit of an update on our weekly COVID-19 update. Dr. Jonathan, how you going?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Janae. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Now, let us know what you do within the Brisbane ATSICS hub.
Yeah, so I'm one of the GPs working at Brisbane ATSICS, and as well as that, I'm the senior medical officer for the organisation. So I've been leading the COVID-19 response for the organisation and part of the bigger network, IUE network in Southeast Queensland.
Deadly. Now, I don't think much has changed in the recent week, but can you give us a little bit of a COVID update?
Yeah, sure. So we had a lockdown and those cases back a couple of weeks, and good news in the last week, we managed to ease some of those restrictions earlier than a day or so earlier than expected, which was great. So we didn't really get any more community cases in Queensland. So I guess we're back to a good spot where we're able to visit our relatives in aged care and disability, and the hospitals are a bit more open and all that. And we're now not needing to sort of wear masks in as many places. So good. It's still important to continue to look out for symptoms and be vigilant about it, but back to a good spot.
Absolutely. And I just had a check on the Facebook page, and there's no new cases, so that's great too. But we're leading into the colder months. How important is it still to make sure we stay vigilant with our hygiene and I guess get tested, any kind of sniffle? Are we expected to go get tested?
Yeah, so as everyone's probably aware now, COVID presents in lots of different ways, and from the very mild symptoms to being quite sick and needing to be in hospital. So, the simplest new sniffle or cough or sore throat, fever, headache, anything like that could be COVID. It could be rhinovirus, could be the flu. And I think we all know that, there can be cases that come up in community that, we didn't know about before, in terms of it might have come from a hospital or from hotel quarantine, but they might have skipped someone in between and we haven't found that case. So I think still want to make sure people are encouraged to go and get a test if they've got any of those symptoms. We also, we're coming to winter, we don't want to be spreading around those other viruses as well, because that kind of, then there's more time off work, more people have to get tested and all of that. So I think the more we can keep washing our hands, use the hand sani, cover our mouth when we cough, stay home when we're sick, get tested, all those things can really help to stop the spread of other things. And there's some other serious conditions too. The flu season is in a few months, and we don't know what kind of season we'll have with that this year, because we really didn't see much last year. So it means that a lot of us didn't get that chance to develop a bit of immunity from the exposure.
Absolutely, yeah. I think last year there wasn't too many with the with the old flu, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's one of the smallest years that we've had for a long time. So, and the flu vaccine is out at the moment. So we're probably just vaccinating mostly over 65-year-olds. That's the supply we've got for that. Mm-hmm. But in the next week, we should be getting the rest of the flu shots to be able to vaccinate everyone else. So, that's a sort of thing on the cards for the next month.
Yeah. Now, look, there's always a lot of chatter around the rollout for the vaccine. What's your advice around the vaccine rollout, and who should get it, and where should we go for more information?
Yeah. Sure. So at the moment, we're still encouraging everyone from 1A and 1B, those rollouts, and people generally know who they are. The more at risk either of complications from COVID, those with chronic disease, or over the age of 70 for non-Indigenous people, and for if you're Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, then really any adult if it's through an AMS. But what we're saying is for the over 50s, they're the ones that who are qualifying for that AstraZeneca vaccine, which is done in sort of GP practices and respiratory clinics and the AMSs. And then it's the Pfizer vaccine that's done through the bigger hospital hubs. And that's for those that are under the age of 50. That's the recommended vaccine to get. And I guess just remembering that the supply of that is a bit limited at the moment and where it's available. So it's going to take kind of a few months to get to everyone to be able to provide that. And supplies will improve over the next few months. So, if you're over 50, go to your GP, AMS, respiratory clinic. If you're under the age of 50, you'll probably have to hang tight and keep an eye out for when you're able to go to one of the hospital Pfizer hubs.
Yeah, Deadly. Now, if we still have a bit of fear around the vaccine and about, putting things into our body that we don't really know exactly what's going on, who's the best person to talk to about this?
Yeah, look, I think, and we're getting lots of questions from our patients. I think that the best person is your regular health provider, your GP, and that might be your Aboriginal Medical Service or another GP that you go to, or other trusted healthcare providers, and nurse practitioners can be involved in this as well, and nurses. So I think and your pharmacist should be able to support you as well. So I think all those trusted healthcare providers are really important to get advice from. They know your health the best, and it's much easier to have that conversation with someone who knows you well, and you know them well too.
Exactly. Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm having a yarn to Dr. Jonathan about COVID-19, and you know, the best person to, as Dr. Jonathan said, is to go to your local GP and have a yarn about if you've got any questions around the vaccine. But also, if you're going to go online, remember you can keep up to date with all your current health advice with our Deadly Choices Facebook page, as well as the Queensland Health website. Well, thank you for calling in, Dr. Jonathan, today, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you very soon.
Yeah, very welcome, Shanae. Thanks.
Cheers.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM. With your host, Shanae Clements.
Well, there you have it, you mob. It was a great show today. We had Dr. Garsh come on and have a yarn about Immunisation Week, and Steve Renoff as well, our Deadly Choices ambassador, took all things rugby league, which is it's been exciting times to watch the TV. I love this time of the year. Origin coming up, a bit cooler in the months. Harder to get out of bed, but it's sometimes better than all the heat in Queensland here. But remember to keep up to date with any of our and to be involved in with any of our Deadly Choices events, you must be up to date with your 715 health check. As well as being proactive with your health, you get a Deadly Choices shirt at the end of that health check. It's a 2021 designs, which is some pretty deadly stuff going out there. And I love seeing our artwork on our shirts, and we get to style up and feel real flash up in them shirts. Also, we have heaps of old sessions in our Deadly Choices Facebook page, our weekly live sessions. We used to do a lot during our lockdown as well. So, but I believe there's still some pretty awesome yarns around Pearls of Wisdom there, Good Quick Tucker. There's old Deadly Kindies videos, as well as new ones for our little Jarjums to stay active. There's DC Fit there, and so much more that we've put online, particularly during lockdown, that you can check out. Lastly, as we've talked before, we still have our respiratory testing clinics up here in Southeast Queensland. They're still open. So if you're experiencing any COVID symptoms, no matter how mild, and you know, we're coming into those colder months, so if you have any questions around it, definitely give your local community controlled health centre a call and book in a test. You can find your local clinic at www.deadlychoices.com.au. We also have the World No Tobacco Day coming up soon at the end of May. I can't believe we're already in April, but yes, we will have a lot of yarns around quitting smoking next month, as well as the 2nd of June, we have Young Olympics Deadlies. So keep an eye out on our Facebook page for those events, and so much more coming up. But thank you for tuning in, and you can catch us the same time, same place here on 98.9 for the best country. But yeah, keep making those deadly choices, you mob.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.
This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.